All right, let's turn to the book of Colossians. Someone was asking me tonight, well, they didn't exactly ask me this, but I thought it might be worthwhile to explain. We started off the series kind of doing a topical study on the subject of love, and now we're going through this book, and maybe I don't know how you feel about that, but sometimes you might think, well, what am I going to learn from going through the Bible, you know? And I want to just explain to you what we're trying to do and why we're going through the book of Colossians. We can talk about topics and we can, you know, talk about topics and talk about topics and talk about thing after thing. And we're going to do that, and probably next fall we'll probably get into things like guy-girl relationships and all kinds of really neat stuff. But one of the things I want you to understand is that the Bible is where all the source of our answers are, where our foundation comes in our life. And both Brent and I have talked about this quite a bit. We feel that it's really impossible to grow a healthy Christian life if we don't take time to teach systematically through a book in the Bible. So you understand what Paul is trying to get at and what God is trying to get at. And so we're going to be doing both. We'll go through books and then we'll go over topics. And of course, it all comes from God's Word. But I think it's interesting, as I was talking tonight with some friends, just how the Bible, it's easy sometimes to go, well, how do you get so much out of the Bible? I mean, I read it and it doesn't seem to mean that much. And that's why it's so important we know other portions of the Bible. That's why it's so important we understand the Bible. Because all of this book is a treasure of wisdom and knowledge, and it all fits together, and your life depends on it. I guess I've emphasized that over and over again, and I don't think I can overemphasize that enough. I read a verse the other day in my time with the Lord in Proverbs 23. I think it was Proverbs 23 that says, "Don't be envious of sinners, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. For surely there is a hope for you, and your future will not be cut off." And I was thinking about that, you know, it's really easy for us to get envious and jealous of what we see the non-Christian have sometimes. We can look at their boyfriend or their girlfriend or their money or their car or their job or what seems to be like a wonderful life that they live, filled with all this wonderful activity and all of these things. And it's real easy sometimes to become envious and think, I'm missing out. I'm missing out on things right now, and it's not fair and it's not fun. And what God wants us to understand is that we need to be zealous for the fear of Him all the time. And what that means, what it means to be zealous for the fear of the Lord, it means you're zealous to live by His principles, to know what He says and to do it. I think oftentimes, if I be honest with you, I think oftentimes two reasons that we neglect the Bible. One, we go to it and maybe we don't get much out of it. Two, we don't want to do what it says. Because inevitably, if you're going to read God's Word, you're going to have to face some things about yourself. You're going to get hope from the Word. You're going to get encouragement from the Word, and you're going to get rebuked from the Word, and you're going to get reproved from the Word, and you're going to get challenged from the Word. And oftentimes, we don't want that. Well, you see, something's really unique about the Bible. If you put it on the shelf, pretty soon you can do lots of things with your life that are really contrary to it, but they don't bug you too bad. It's because you're not in the book. And a lot of times we don't know, well, where am I going? And I wish my life was more encouraging. We don't have any encouragement because we're not in the book. And God wants to be always zealous for the fear of the Lord. The reason is because you do have a hope. And you do have a future. The heathen do not. Those who do not know Christ do not have a future. And they do not have a hope. And everything that looks like it's going really good their way is going to come to a tragic end. You have a hope, and you have a future, both here and thereafter. God does care about the things in your life that sometimes you don't think He does. Sometimes we don't think God cares about our getting a better job or about getting a mate. And we can get very envious and get very tunnel vision on one particular thing. And the bottom line reason is because we don't believe God's going to do good to us. We just don't believe in God. We say we do, but we really don't in that particular thing. And so we really are stressed, and we just want to take it in our own hands. And I guess I just was reminded of this in my own life, in my relationship with my wife, my relationship with my family. Mark, be zealous for the fear of the Lord. Quit putting expectations on your mate to expect her to come through. You live for the fear of the Lord. You put the interest of others. Everything we talk about, you know, you think sometimes, you know, Mark just throw that stuff out, and but he probably doesn't ever get convicted by it. Boy, don't kid yourself. I really get convicted by that stuff. I say it all, and then I have to go home and go, oh, jiminy Christmas. You know, I got to live that stuff. You know? And it's a challenge to my life. So I was really struck by that. Is God really grabbed hold of my heart and said, Mark, I want you zealous for the fear of the Lord. And I'm concerned, you know, I get concerned about things all the time. And I'm concerned, again, that we over this Christmas holiday, you're coming into finals week, and I know you're swamped. And I know you think, oh, I just don't, it's really saying, I don't have time for God. I don't have time for His Word. Believe me, you better make time. You better make time. I've been so encouraged recently. There's just been different ones, and I won't mention their names, but then I know. And God has just really been making some breakthroughs in their lives. And I hear, you know, and I see, and they're getting in the Word. They're more refreshed. They're more spirited. Why? Because they're getting in the Word. They know they're going to have to go to God. And I just want you to know that you won't make it through finals. You won't make it through this weekend. You won't make it through the holiday season if you don't take time to get with the Lord. You know, when I say get with the Lord, I guess I say that sometimes I assume people know what I mean. I mean you get somewhere alone, all alone. It is a quiet place that you can think undistracted, and you open up this book and you pray, oh, and yes, Lord, teach me from your Word. You know, have you ever done this? Have you ever opened up your Bible and said, God, I want you to teach me, and I want you to know I'm going to do whatever you show me to do. You know, if you can't pray that, you need to ask yourself why. Are you afraid? Are you scared? And I remember as a very, very, very young Christian, just weeks after God got all my life, and I had kind of been raised in a Christian background, and I knew lots of things, but there was no substance in my life. And I remember just kind of putting my hand, you know, kind of like you do when you go on trial, you know, you have to be a witness, and they put your hand on the Bible. Put in my hand on the Bible and say, God, I just want you to know I'm willing to learn. And I'll relearn everything I think I know. I want to do everything this Bible says. I want to live it. I want it to be my experience. Well, you know, you go through a lot of hardship. You have to look at yourself in the mirror sometimes. And you don't like what you see. And God has to gently and sometimes firmly get a hold of you and say, listen, this needs to change. This has got to stop. A lot of times, again, that's why we steer clear of God. We don't want to change. Sometimes we're consumer Christians. And what I mean by a consumer Christian is we want everything God has to give, but we don't want to give anything back. Don't work that way. Just doesn't work that way. God's not this nice free ride, you know, to give you these good grades and a wonderful husband and a wonderful job and wonderful things. That isn't what this is all about. That's just kind of gravy. God will work those things out. What God wants is your life. What God wants is your heart. He wants it all. He wants it all. He wants all of you. Because He paid for all of you. So He wants all that He paid for. And He wants you to fear Him, and He wants you to obey Him, and He wants you to do what the Bible says. It's kind of interesting because we're going to get into what things are we supposed to do in the Christian life and what aren't we? Won't be able to get into all of them tonight. But God has wonderful plans for your life. But I want to tell you something. They come at a price. They come at a price. You must obey this book. You must obey it. It's not nice little precious promises, you know, that you go to and, you know, isn't that neat? Isn't that neat? God wants to change your life. He wants your life to be transformed. And as you conform to this book, you're going to be a happier, healthier individual. I was meditating on a verse last week. It says, the reward of humility is riches, honor, and a long life. And I was thinking and reflecting on my own life. how I've been through some things. I look back in my life, and I've been through some very difficult things. And there was times I really envied sinners. I really envied those who left the faith, who really ran after the things the world had offered. They were doing great, and I was kind of broke, you know. And I remember one particular time being in a lot of debt and thinking to myself, you know, wouldn't it be neat to win a lottery or something? And I remember saying to God, you know, God, listen, I don't like this. You could do this. If you're so big and strong, then give me the money and give it to me now. You know, you did it for so-and-so. Their grandmother died and left them $30,000. So, you know, why did stuff like that ever happen to me? And I was having this interaction with God, and God's so patient. You know, I was so gracious, he didn't smack you in the mouth. It's one of those times, you know, that I deserved it. And so God took me to Psalm 119. And I was meditating the portion. I came to this verse. It says, I have treasured the words of your mouth more than many, much silver and gold. Oh, and I thought to myself, God just asked me, Mark, if you had a choice between my promises right now or $50,000, what would you take? Boy, did God ever reveal to me what I was really made of at that time. Because I wanted money. That's what I wanted. I didn't believe that verse. God's word to me wasn't more precious at that time than money. I wanted money. And God really challenged me in my life. Mark, that's got to change. So we got to work that out of your life. So I'm not giving you no money. And you know what? That's exactly what happened. God didn't. I had to work very, very hard, very, very long and hard to get out of debt. And God taught me through that period of my life that His Word is more precious than silver and gold. And God developed humility in my life, and He's still doing that. But I realize now, I look at the honor, the riches, the wonderful, fulfilling life God has given me, and I got to tell you, the Bible's true. The Bible's really true. Humility means to believe what God says and do it. That's it, what humility means. And God will honor you. That sometimes it's just a matter of time. Anyway, we're in the book of Colossians, and I hope that as we go through this, that you really value God's Word, and you take the time through your week to go back over these things and meditate on them. The treasures of God, they're all right here. They're all right here for the taking. This is a treasure book filled with treasures, and they're all yours in Christ. So we're in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. It says, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. I think one of the things that comes into our Christian life is we get onto this performance trip with God. And we wonder, all right, now that I'm a Christian, all these things, what am I supposed to do, you know? And we measure our life by all the things we're doing. We get up in our day. And you got to understand how natural that is. College works that way. How do you measure your success at college? Do they call them report cards? I don't know. But anyway, you know what I'm talking about. That's how you measure it. You measure it by the grade that's on the top of that test. And if it's a good one, you rejoice. And if it's a bad one, you cry. Okay? You're a yo-yo Christian. Your joy, most people in this room tonight, your joy is from your circumstances. You go up, you go down. And your joy also comes from how well you perceive you're doing in the Lord. Now, if you think, oh, I'm doing really good, then you're happy. And oh, I had a really rough day. Well, when we say you had a really rough day, usually what we mean is we got mad, we were impatient, we were frustrated, we weren't thankful, we didn't read the Bible, we don't even think about a verse, we never prayed. It was just a bad day. That's usually what people mean when they say it was a bad day. Okay, and I found that through experience. Now, sometimes, you know, they had trials. But usually what they mean is, it's just a bad day. I didn't do nothing right today. And so they come home, you know, from their day or from work or whatever, and a little bit discouraged, and sometimes a lot discouraged. Well, this verse kind of gives the reason, and it gives the solution. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord. How did you receive Christ as Lord? How did you receive it? By something you did? Did you earn him? You got him by faith, didn't you? By faith. You didn't do nothing to get him. You got him by faith. You received him by faith. What God said, you said, okay, I'm going to believe that. Whether it was John 3:16, Ephesians 2:8, 9, Romans, any number of verses. You believed them. And God came into your life. Now, if you're going to grow in your Christian life, you must learn and you must understand this principle. We walk by faith, not by sight. We do not walk. Our life, our joy, our thankfulness does not depend on what does or does not happen to us. Our life does not depend on, oh, how well we did or how well we didn't do. It depends on faith. Faith. God is interested in men and women of faith. Men and women who will believe what He says. And that's how we get strengthened as we continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught. And this gets back to what we talked about in the first chapter about being forgiven and being redeemed. And it means you walk by faith, not by what you see. It means that you're walking along in your life and you sin. Okay? You do something wrong and you know it's wrong. And it could be this. It could be you're walking along and you do it by accident. You know, accidental sins? You didn't plan on it. It was an accident. And then there's other sins that are premeditated sins. Okay? You willfully did it. You were mad and that's all there's to it, and you're going to stay that way. And nobody's going to change me. And I want to do nothing God says. So there. Just get off my back. Okay? And we have that kind of an attitude. So we have those kind of sins. The kind of sins that just... You got caught, maybe you were in a situation, and all of a sudden you just were really unthankful. And you'd been doing fine, and all of a sudden you just got hit. And then there's the other kind where you just willfully rebel. Well, understand this. They're both sin. Okay? Both of them. They're both sin. Now, Kate, you haven't been doing that lately, have you? I know, sister, but God forgives you anyway. No, I'm teasing. Anyway... This is. I hope this is making sense to you. I hope you understand what I'm getting at. But so there's things we do by sin, and there's things that are premeditated. We think them through, and we just choose a course, and we're going to go do it. What you need to understand is sometimes when we finally begin to realize, you know what I've been doing is wrong. Or we get to a point in our life where we go, you know, hey, that was wrong. We'll admit it. Then what can happen is, nice old Mr. Devil, he's right there. You got to understand, he's alive, he's well, and he's right on your case. And he's right there in your ear. You crud ball. You know, you hypocrite. You call yourself a Christian? Don't even breathe that word. I mean, you need to go out and walk the line. That's what I used to do. There's these railroad tracks in Ames, Iowa. And I used to go walk the line for hours. Weeping and crying out to God. And, oh God, I just know I'm so wretched. And God, forgive me. I'm just such a rotten crud ball. Until I finally got the place that I felt I'd done it long enough and felt bad enough that it was over now. It could be over. I think some of you know what I'm talking about. It's self-flagellation, you know. Some people, you know, the old priests, monks and the monks, they used to actually do it with a whip. Now that made you better. It didn't make you better. It don't mean beans to God. It doesn't make you better at all. We walk by faith. So what it means is you're walking along, obeying the Lord, you fall, something goes crummy, you just stand right back up by faith, not by what you see, because what you see is kind of crummy. By faith, you go, God made me a new creation, God paid for that, and it settles it on for God. But not a moment of remorse or sorrow or frustration or discouragement. And God wants you to learn to do that. God wants you to learn to live by faith. God wants you to learn to see life by faith. That's taught dealing in the area of forgiveness. God wants you to learn with a mate that you walk by faith. How did you get the Lord? Did you work for Him? No. And you don't have to work for a mate either. You have to trust God and leave it in the hands of God and walk by faith. If God did me good then by faith, God will do me good now. How many sleepless nights I know many of us have spent worrying about this. How many frustrated hours we've spent, frustrated and bent out of shape about a mate. And so simple. I mean this, it's so simple. You go to the promises of God and you wrestle with that and you go, either that's true or it's a lie. So that's what you ought to wrestle with. Either God is going to be good to me, and He's going to fulfill the desires of my heart as I trust Him, or He's a liar. That's what you need to be wrestling with. And that's what you need to understand you are wrestling with when you go back and forth in this area. Will God get me married? I'm too ugly. No one would ever want to marry me. Well, then that might be the truth. I used to think that. By faith, I believe God would do something better. I believed it. And some of you saw some of my old pictures. You believe me. I'm not lying. You know, remember John and Suzanne at the Halloween party? Remember John and Suzanne at the Halloween party, the hippies? No, that's what I used to look like. For real. And dress like, kind of, sort of. Yeah, I really did. And so, for me to get Kathy was unbelievable. But I want to tell you something. I mean this honestly, I didn't sweat it. I knew that, listen, bottom line, I came to the kingdom and I said, all right, if God is going to die me and I'm going to trust Him for this, then I'm going to trust Him for everything or I'd be a hypocrite. And I want to be a hypocrite. Then I've got to decide what's true and what isn't true about the Bible. See, that's what you've got to do. Oh, well, yeah, He cares about saving me, but not about a mate. I'm going to handle that one, God. And you pierce yourself through with so many pains. Or it can be a job, or it can be a career, it can be worry, worry, worry. God wants you to live your life by faith in the promises of God. Now, all these struggles are worth it, too. I'm not frustrated that you're struggling, but you be frustrated. That's all worth it. I remember so many times going, oh, God, is there going to be any light at the end of my tunnel? And am I going to make it? And I remember crying out to God, literally in tears. God, my eyes fail with longing for Your promises. God, help me out. But I remember times I went out to look for this job. And I didn't have I didn't have money to go look for a job. So I used the phone. And I finally got this job and I needed a car. But the car I had in the business I was in, I sold back to the dealership. And I didn't have a car. And so I borrowed a car to go to the interview. And a guy said, well, come back in a week. So I drove in a blizzard to Marshalltown a week later. And he gave me 5 minutes of his time. And it looked hopeless. And God, I need this job. And God, come through for me. My family depends. I've been out of work for 3 months. God, come through for me. God, I need You. I need You. I fail. And I was up every day looking expectantly for the promises of God. And day after day went. Till I got through all the A's and all the B's, the C's, the D's, the E's, the F's, until I was in the S section. And that took a long time. I called every business in that city. And I got to the S's. So I went to this place. The guy said finally, okay, you got the job. You start Monday morning. This was a Friday, and I didn't have a car. And it was a sales route, and I had to provide a car. Why'd I have a dial? I didn't tell him I didn't have a car. I'm going to tell him, I'm sorry I don't have a car. And I wouldn't get the job. Right? So I said, okay, I'll be there. I'll be there Monday. And boy, did I pray. Wow, oh God, I need a car. I need a car bad or I can't go to this job. And this is real life. I'm talking about real life here. I didn't call up my mom and dad asking for money. I didn't call up my neighbor and ask for money. I didn't call up and see if I could get a loan at the bank. I said, because I knew I couldn't afford to go in any more debt. I can't afford to owe nobody else anymore. God, help me. And Saturday went by, and well, that's okay. I got a day left. So Sunday morning went by, and Sunday afternoon went by, and Sunday night, about 10. And oh God, I need a car. I got to be to work the next morning. And I get this call at 10 o'clock, 10:30. And it's this girl that we vaguely knew, my wife and I. She said, Mark? She said, I was just over here thinking. She said, I live like 2 blocks from the university, and that's where I work. And my car's been parked in my garage for 5 months, just parked there. And it's not really good for my car to just be parked there, said I. I really want it to be used. Would you drive it for me? Would you use it? And I kind of, I'm about ready to die, and I'm all right. I said, are you serious? Oh, I'm really serious. Really, I just need someone to use it. So I said, well, I'll put this many miles on it. Oh, that's great. That's exactly what I'd like for it to happen. So I went over. She gave me a car. For the next 6 months, I did my job with a borrowed car. Man, I'll tell you, God comes through. And that's with the family. I want to tell you, you feel the pressure when you got kids and a wife dependent on you. And I knew God's the only one I could depend on. I had that happen with the trailer, with the house. We were living with a couple girls. We were sharing this big house, and they had an apartment downstairs. And we were upstairs, and we were trying to save on rent. This is during one of my impoverished periods of life. And their impoverished periods of life. And so we were helping one another out. And I was married then, and we had two children. And finally got to the point we needed to leave. Well, I was only paying like $190 a month rent, and I could not afford to pay $5 over that. And that's pretty incredible, you know, for a family. And so I was praying, you know, oh God, come through. You've got to come through for us. So I began to consider all possibilities. And for those of you that are, well, you're not, there's nobody married here. But for you girls, one of the last things you want your husband to think about is living in a mobile home. That's the lowest of the low. Let me tell you, that's low. You're scraping bottom when you well, now for those of you that have, I don't believe that, but you know, sometimes girls tend to think that mobile home is bad news. Kind of depends on how they've been raised. It depends on how the guy's been raised, you know. But mobile homes can be bad, and especially the kind we were probably going to have to live in, you know. It wasn't like going out and buying a double wide, you know, with all the features of a home. This is more like, you know, looking at a 20 or 30 year old trailer. And so I was praying, and I had this friend who was thinking about selling his to me on contract. So that was the only way I could afford it, to be $192 a month. I was going to find two more dollars somehow in my budget. So I had called around a couple friends who lived in him to ask them their counsel, what they thought of him, if their wives liked him, you know, because I really didn't want to have to do this, but I felt between a rock and a hard place. And so he said, well, these couple guys told me, they're fine, you know, you get used to them. I said, okay. So about a week later, and this is so incredible, my father happened to be at my house. I hadn't seen him in 2 or 3 years. He just pulled up into Ames, called me, said, I'm in Ames, can I come over? So he said, yes. So he came over, and my father has gone through a period of his life, and he really thinks God's for the birds and told me I'm washed up with what I'm doing with my life and a bunch of baloney, and you got to look out for yourself, and God don't give manna from heaven, and okay, all that kind of stuff, all right? So he's at the house this one day, and I was gone, and there was a phone call, and he took a message, and he said, oh, you're supposed to call a guy named Dale when you something about a trailer or something. I didn't know what in the world it was. So I called this guy, my dad's right there on the couch. The timing of this is unbelievable. So I called him, and he goes, Mark, yeah. He says, I wondered if you made a decision on a trailer yet. I said, well, you know, Dale, I've been thinking about it. I think I have, but what's going on? He goes, well, I just wanted you to know, my wife and I have been really praying about this, and we just bought a double wide, and we've got that other trailer, and we'd like to give it to you. And I said, what? And I kind of jumped, you know, I kind of get excited. So I'm not recapturing the emotion here. But I just kind of leaped up out of my chair and said, what? He says, oh, we want to give it to you. I said, well, tell me about it. Oh, we just carpeted the living room, it's got a washer and dryer in it, and, you know, it all sounded good, and it had a little shed. And so we went out there, and I said, well, can I come and look at it? He said, sure. So I get off and tell my dad. My dad's jaw just falls open, you know. He didn't believe this. And God really uses my father's life. So we went out and we looked at it, and it was like, you know, a little taste of heaven. I mean, it was a 1968 trailer, and the roof leaked after we lived there. We found that out, and the heat went off in the middle of the night at 4 in the morning, and it'd be 20 degrees or 30 degrees, and I'd wake up freezing, and it'd take me 2 hours to light the pilot light because it would blow it out, the wind would, because it was not vented right. So it had its gross trials. I could go on all night about the fleas, the lice, and the neighbors, and the drugs. And I could also tell you about all the people God led to Christ, that we were able to lead to Christ while we were there. And I want to tell you, God came through. Not only did God do an incredible miracle, but I got a raise because I only paid $75 a month to live there. That's how I made it all these years on $15,000 gross a year, providing for a family of five. I never left my desire to follow Christ. I never left my desire to be God's man. I want to tell you, God put me through a lot of tough things. But our walk is a walk of faith. We don't walk by the things we see. See, I had opportunities. There was an opportunity came along, and a guy offered me a job to go on selling on the road, and I'd be gone 4 nights a week. And I could make $30,000 to $40,000, and I turned it down for three reasons. One, because I'd be gone from my family all that time. Two, I wouldn't be able to serve in the way I was. And three, I didn't believe it's what God wanted me to do. You just don't make choice. You know, sometimes we think that when good things come along, it's God. Beware. Beware. If you make decisions based on that, you're in trouble. Just because good things come along don't mean they're from God. They may be the biggest test of your life. And God wants to find out if you live because good things happen to you or you make decisions based on principles in the Word of God. And I got to tell you, the walk of faith is incredible. We do not live by what we see. We live by the faith in the Word of God. So many Christians, they live by how they feel. You cannot do that. There's a whole movement today in Christianity basically based on your emotions and how you feel. It's wrong. It's an error. We live by principles in the Word of God, by what God's Word has to say. And then Paul goes on here and he says, strengthen in faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. This is one of the results that will come. You'll know you're living by faith. You want to know how? Because you're thankful. Whenever you're not thankful, it's an automatic red light. I'm not walking by faith. Why? Well, because this bad thing happened to me, and I'm mad, and I'm not thankful about it. Why aren't you thankful? Because we're thankful by faith. We're not thankful because everything in our life is going incredibly wonderful. That has never been the story of my life. If I've ever given that impression, then I gave you the wrong impression. Through many tribulations we'll enter the kingdom of God, Jesus said. And you know that. If you're walking with God, you know that. But in all of them, we overwhelmingly conquer. In all of them, God wants us to be thankful. And this thought in Christianity, this prosperity gospel, that God's going to give you everything you want and you name it and claim it and God will do it, is for the birds. You think Paul wanted to get stoned? You think Paul wanted to be shipwrecked? You think Paul wanted to have an eye problem, that just this pussy eye, and he cried out to God. Three times God take it away, and God never took it away. God left him with a thorn to keep him humble. Oh my goodness, are we going to have trials. Aren't you happy? Oh, aren't you excited about all the problems you're going to have, and all the tribulation you're going to have, and all the car accidents you're going to have, and I've been in those. You name it and it's happened to me, except I've not been stoned yet. I've not been righted. I've been close. I've been very close to someone punching me in the face. Did everything else but that. But you name it, boy, in almost anything, it's happened to me. Why? Well, because God, that's how God builds us. And that's how we learn what's really valuable in life, is by faith, walking by faith. So if you want to have a strong life and a thankful life, you'll learn to walk by faith. That's why you need this book. You need the promises in this book. You need the perspective of this book. And if you want a merry, wonderful, perfect life, then you're not going to get it with the Lord. What you're going to get with the Lord is inner peace. God will answer prayer and God will come through for you. But I want to tell you, God's going to train you and God's going to put you through tough things. Life is not a bed of roses with the Lord. But it's always comforting. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Let me tell you, you're going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You're going to. That's the only way you learn how comforting God is. I used to tell my wife with a passage in 2 Corinthians, if you'll turn to it real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. This is Paul again, verse 3, chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we're distressed, it's for your comfort and salvation. If we're comforted, it's for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same suffering. And our hope for you is firm because we know that just as you share in our suffering, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, but our hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure. In fact, we despaired even of life. We wanted to die. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril. He will deliver us. On Him we have set our hope, and we will continue. He will continue to deliver us as we are helped by your prayers. Then many will give thanks. Oh my goodness. You know, I used to tell Kathy, you know, Kathy, you want to get a lot of comfort? You know how to get a lot of comfort? Would you like to get a lot of comfort? Wouldn't you like to just be comforted all the time? You know how it is? You suffer. Just to the same degree that the sufferings of Christ overflow into your life, so also the comfort of Christ overflows into your life. What are you willing to go through? That will really show, separate the men from the boys and the women from the girls. What are you willing to go through? What are you willing to let God take you through? Boy, He'll take you through it. Boy, He will. Boy, you're going to go through some rough stuff. You think finding a mate's hard? Wait till you find them. Okay? Think it's hard? Boy, I want to tell you, you have no idea. You just take my word for this. You have no idea the intensity of a relationship when you're trying to live for God. You would not believe if I even told you some of this tremendous stress that goes on in my own life. The strugglings of the flesh to love my mate. It's unlike anything you've ever experienced. You think it's tough to live with the people you live with. You wait till you marry them and you know God's plan is for you to be together forever. And you got to love them and you got to give and give and give and give. And you think, oh, I'm not selfish. You wait. Don't be so anxious for this. You let God work in your life. Because I want to tell you, you got a lot to learn. You got a lot of suffering to go through. A lot of stress that's going to come into your life. And you're going to get lots of comfort as you respond to it with faith. But if you don't respond to it with faith, you're dead. You understand that? You're hopeless. You don't have a prayer if you do not respond to life with faith. You are going to be a wiped out person all the time. Frustrated, discouraged, down in the dumps because this is bad. And the only glimmer of hope that's ever going to come in your life is, oh, something really good happened to me today. I got an A on my test. It's the only thing, but I'm going to hold on to that. And so your life's going to go like this and ride with the waves, you see. And what God wants is for the waves to be going like this and you're just going like this all the time. So you're steady. You're stable. You're refreshed. You're encouraged. You know that whatever comes, you've settled in your heart, God, Jehovah, will take care of me. You do not live in dread of bad news or in fear of what might happen, for she or he has settled in their heart that Jehovah God will take care of me. Boy, think about that all the time. I have to run to that. You not believe how often I have to go to that. You know, some of you, I don't know what you think of me, but boy, I have struggles. Boy, Thanksgiving was tough. Thanksgiving was the toughest time I've had in a long time. It was very refreshing. I had some really neat things happen and opportunities for God to use me. And boy, that I had some struggles with the flesh. There are times I just wish I was dead. You think you wish that? Boy, there's times I just wish, oh God, just take me. Man, I wish this was over. Man, I hate myself for that. Man, I have to go with fresh faith. You see, it was so funny. It wasn't funny. It was amazing. I have a favorite aunt and uncle. I haven't seen him in a long, long time. And on the way to home, I live in Webster City, which is 3 hours south of here. It was not a pleasant trip. Okay? It was a rough trip. I could feel like I could cut the tension in the car with the knife. I knew there were some things that I was just holding in my heart, my relationship with my wife. And I knew God wanted to get at those. And oh, man, the flesh was rearing its ugly head. And I wanted to just stop the car, get out and walk. But I couldn't, you know. So I was there driving. We got to the house, and we walk in the house, and who's there? My mom didn't tell me. My favorite aunt and uncle. And they don't know the Lord. And I've been really wanting to talk to him for a long time. And boy, did that kick me in the spirit really fast. Wham! Hi there, Neil! How you doing? Good
good to see you. And oh man, I knew right away all these opportunities were going to come, and I had to change now. I mean, really change, not fake change. I had to wham, put it in the spirit gear, you know. And then I knew they'd leave, and I was going to have to just go to my wife in humility, and I knew I didn't have time then, and we were just going to have to get through this and go to her later and say, Kathy, I was wrong. And boy, I'll tell you, that was intense. That was intense struggle. I have those struggles. Don't you ever think I don't have those struggles. And I have to learn, and still learning, and have learned in my life, to walk by faith. Do you know what would have been real easy to think? To walk in the door and go, oh, geez, let me out of here. Why? Because I knew God would want to use me. And so it'd be real easy to go, God cannot use me. No way. No way can God speak through me. And what turned out to start off to be a really horrendous Thanksgiving trip turned into a phenomenal time with people. I got to visit with my aunt and uncle and share Christ with them and with their relatives, and they were very interested. And then I got to see an old friend I haven't seen in years, and I was very close to his whole family. He's got 12 brothers and sisters, and they were all home. And his father and mother, I got to go see them, and I was able to share with his younger sister who lives in Brainerd, who I didn't know, who's had all kinds of struggles in her life. And lo and behold, my wife just ran into her at Target the other day on Penn Avenue on her way home to Brainerd. And then I got to visit with a couple from an old church I used to go to till 1:30 in the morning. Now I want to tell you something. Do I walk by how I live? No. I walk by faith. Or I would have come home. I would have turned around and come home. See? We have to live by what God says He made us. I know God's not holding that against me. And I know that God realizes, and I realize sometimes I still have those intense struggles with the flesh. And I hate them every bit as much as you do. And I've learned, I just have to go calm. Go to God, all right, God, you said you made me new. You said you forgave me, and I've got to put this behind me and be the man you want me to be, and be the father you want me to be, and be the husband you want me to be. And I don't feel like it. See? I don't want to do it. I want to be a moron. I want to be a jerk. I want to let out all this crud. That's what I want to do, just like you. And we walk by faith. And we go, like, God says I'm different. And God wants me different. And I don't feel this. I'm going to do it. That's what the Christian life's all about. And if you don't learn to live like that, you're dead. You won't make it. You'll desert Christ. Because you're going to be always waiting for that neat feeling to come along. And go, oh, I just feel so spiritual today. I just feel so much like walking with Jesus today. I just feel so loving today. You won't ever feel that way. You won't feel that way. The flesh is going to be right there. The devil's going to be right there. You've got to learn to ignore the feelings and ignore the flesh and walk by faith. God says, I can do all things through Christ strengthening me. All right, I can be patient. I'm going to go love. I'm going to go be humble. I'm going to walk. And I want to tell you, you just please learn this now. You do not have any understanding of what it's going to be like, the intensity when you're married. You think your flesh comes out now. You wait. You've got to learn this now. You've got to grasp these things now, or you'll get divorced. I promise you. I promise you. Mark my words. 1988, November, you heard it right here. If it happens to you. Because your flesh was the one you catered to. And if you cater to it now, you'll ruin every relationship you ever touch. You've got to learn to walk by faith, not by how you feel, not by what the devil's right there going, you are a slime, you are so crummy. God doesn't want to use you. Why, you just were impatient, you were just a moron. That's right, I was. I was awful. It was terrible. I'm sure God's fed up with me. And He don't want nothing to do with me. And I've had it. That's arrogant pride. That is not humility. That is arrogant self-pity and pride. And God wants you to have an attitude, I don't care. That's right. That's exactly what I was. And God says I'm righteous. And God says there's no condemnation now for those who are in Christ. And God says I can do all things through Christ who empowers me. And wham! Off you go. See? That's life. That's the Christian life. I don't know if you ever knew that before. But in that little two verses, okay, as you receive Christ, the Lord, so walk in Him. That's what the whole Christian life is all about. That's what it's all about. Walking by what God says you are, walking by what the Bible says is true, and not how you feel.